Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope everyone had a great week so far. We had a great week. We broke bread. We topped the charts. We're just
still chart-topping queens.
Mogul energy everywhere.
Last night was the second episode of Breaking Bread. So much fun. If you joined, thank you for joining. It was a journey, you know?
It was a journey.
If you were there, you know.
Yes, it was exciting. We also, yesterday was like the busiest day ever because, you know, meetings, mogul. We also vlogged our entire day because a lot of people are like, you guys work for an hour a day. Actually, bitch, no, we don't. And we vlogged it to prove it, okay? We did a whole day in the life, what it's like to be a mogul. Yes. It's up on our Patreon now. We had meetings. We spent time with Harry. You do get like a peek at Harry's like stomach, so it's kind of sickening.
It is pretty sickening. It was a Harry-licious day, but also a working day. Very busy, but good. And now we're sliding into the end of the week. And I did cheat the week. It's a 3-day week for me. But, you know, a week is a week, no matter how you slice it. And we're getting through.
I actually don't think I agree with that. A week is not a week, no matter how you slice it.
Like, even though Monday and Tuesday I wasn't here in the studio, like, I was still suffering through week things.
No.
A week is a week, no matter how you slice it.
No.
I said what I said.
I'm not going to agree with you. A week is not a week. A 5-day work week is not the same as, like, when you get, you know, the Monday off, you know?
No, of course. But still, it's the week and you made it to the next one.
No. It doesn't count. Like, in the life cycle of like hard weeks, it doesn't count.
I had a hard week.
Yeah. Last night was The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Did you watch?
Nope, because my YouTube TV subscription paused and it didn't record my shows until I went to watch it. And they were like, update payment, which I eventually did, but I'd already missed the recording.
Okay, that's so funny because I literally got a bill. No, I texted you guys and I was like, is anyone else having a Spectrum outage? And you guys are like, no. Turns out I haven't paid my bill in literally 3 months. I'm on auto pay. Like, who the fuck doesn't use auto pay? And they guess just they turned it off. So I got a bill. They're like, you literally owe us 3 months of cable, Wi-Fi, and home phone. And I was literally going to get my cable shut off. My Wi-Fi was being spotty because they were turning it off.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God, am I okay?
Were you like, oh, my God, I have to film a live show?
You know, it's just like, who the fuck turned off my auto pay? I know who it was. It was Olivia. I'm telling you, Olivia is always up in my Spectrum account. One time, Olivia did the most annoying thing. I'm a generous sister. She needed like a login for some, you know, app to use if you use your cable. So I give it to her in Shapiro. I'm so generous. Literally, I get a call from Olivia and she's like, you owe me like $500. I'm like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, like when I logged into your Spectrum, I started paying your bill by accident. Instead of mine. I'm like, that literally sounds like a you problem. Like, I gave you my login and now I owe you $500.
Thanks, girl.
I'm like, this is not going to work for me. So yeah, I almost got my Wi-Fi shut off, which was just like so crazy.
Well, I did get my TV turned off.
Tough times.
And it was too late for me to like wait for the next airing. So I didn't watch it, which I felt bad about. But then I just went to sleep.
I will talk about it a little bit at the end. It wasn't like a crazy eventful episode.
Feel free to spoil.
We're in this weird plateau space where like none of the women are fighting, but like they all like hate each other. It's just weird. It wasn't a very good episode and something needs to happen soon because they're making moments that aren't moments.
For sure. But it sounds like something happens in Aspen that we can all look forward to.
So this was like a nice boring trip. It did make me want to go to Mexico though. Like
I
that
love
boat
a boring
trip.
Sometimes I personally don't need drama in my life.
Agreed.
I'm a drama freak girly and I like to see friends being friends on a boat. That's just me, though.
Yes, I agree. I do think sometimes, like, it's so manufactured that it's like, I'd rather see these women getting along.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not that fun when they get along, this group.
Yeah, especially because they do all secretly hate each other.
Right, but like I think in Potomac, in Potomac when they get along, like there's nothing better, but they're never getting along.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, but this group, it's not working. They're really not that tight. There's also like a huge divide in the group, like the new girls and the old girls.
Yeah.
And even the old girls, I feel like, are starting to hate each other. Like I think Kyle's like getting over Erica.
Well, I think because Kyle like cares about what the audience thinks about her, and like being really close with Erica and Rinna is not good for her Q score.
It's not. Rinna is insufferable, like really insufferable. But yeah. I'll get into it in the end of the show. We've got five pretty atrocious stories.
No, I feel good about them.
Okay.
I feel good about them. And we also have the power of the Brassenstrassen. I meant to let everyone know, like, when I did the meet and greet, not only were we singing Brassenstrassen, and probably every other person. Do you see the girls with the Brassenstrassen shirts? We should make merch.
100%.
But also, like, everyone, a lot of people were talking about how they're living for, like, the Butters mystery.
I know.
Olive.
Should we give an update?
Dog walk dynamic.
We did find out who Mystery belongs to.
Mystery is an influencer.
You know, Mystery's mom is an influencer. So, like, it wasn't that hard. A couple people sent it to us and were like, what are the chances that this is Mystery? And we're like, oh, 100%. Who else names their dog Mystery?
No, and also, like, we've seen Mystery. That's exactly what Mystery looks right. like. So it's either the same breed and the same name. But we didn't describe to you guys what Mystery looked like. So you were like, here's a dog named Mystery. And it's Mystery.
Well, obviously.
Like, wait, Mystery solved.
No, Mystery is mysterious no longer.
No longer.
I haven't seen Butters, actually, in a minute.
Butters comes through a lot with Bryce.
And the afternoon walk.
Yeah, they're kind of like a duo by happenstance.
I told you I saw Butters like literally go after Bryce one day in my hallway.
But Bryce has learned to defend himself. He's not afraid. He won't back down from a fight. Mm-hmm. Bryce thinks that he's much bigger than he is.
He does.
And he can handle Butters, please. Don't worry about Bryce.
But so the boys are doing well, the boys and girls. Is Mystery a girl or a boy?
It's a mystery. No.
Is Butters a boy? Butters definitely a boy.
Butters is a boy because his name on Instagram is a mister.
Don't say it.
And
please do not blow up these people's Instagram account. Like,
can we just have this fun thing?
We have
thing
this
for
one
us?
Thing. Like, I don't need Butters' mom to hear that I said he was aggressive and wears a muzzle, okay?
Mystery is a man, and his mother sometimes calls him Mr. E.
Got it.
And that's
a
good way to remember it, even though I would have totally thought it was
so
a girl.
So it's a pack of boys.
It's a pack of boys.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Back.
Wow.
The boys
the are back. The boys are back. Wow, that's so good to hear that Theo has, like, you know, a nice solid friend group, like a clique.
He has a friend group.
Who do you think is the Massey block of the group?
Ooh. Bryce.
I'm thinking Butters.
No. Butters is...
Mystery is Claire.
No.
Mystery is Claire.
Mystery is like Alicia. Like, you're not going to mess with her. She, like, she'll mess with you. Like, don't mess with her. She's set in her ways.
Who's Claire?
Butters.
Gotta reread the click books.
I feel like we rewatched the movie recently. I think for Toast Movie
the
of the
movie
Week.
Is literally, like, Oscar-worthy drama.
Yeah.
Did I invite you to my BBQ? Then why are you all up in my grill? What do you want? Stare. That movie's so fucking good.
Are you from Moscow? Then why are you Russian?
Oh, that's good. I don't remember that one.
I think it's from the book.
If you have a daughter, you know, God willing, not one, are you going to have her read those books?
Ooh, probably not, because even though they're so good. But, like, we grew up in a culture of, like, where the cool thing was, like, Mean Girls. The click. Like, that was the movie of our generation, Mean Girls. And now if you act that way, like...
Canceled. Like, literally not going to college.
Like, you have to... That's just not how things
no,
work.
No, you're 100% right. Like, and I actually talk about that a lot in my New York Times bestselling novel, Girl With No Job, available on Amazon. How, like, we were raised in the era of, like, Mean Girls, bring it on.
Like,
it was like
cutthroat.
Cutthroat, mean, cool table, loser table, nerd, band geek.
Like, now if you're at the loser table, like, that's the cool table.
Yeah, no. And it's like, if you want to get anywhere in this life, like, you got to be at the loser table now.
Yeah.
And you can't even call it the loser table. And it's not the loser table. It's just, like, not the cool table, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like... What would the table be called?
Sexually active band geeks?
Yes.
Okay, so your children will not be reading the click.
Right?
No, I know. Like, you really don't want to, like, set them up for failure. Like, they come from a canceled mom. You don't want that for them.
We live in a different world.
It's true. I wonder what the click equivalent will be when we have, like, teenagers.
Well, we wouldn't know yet.
That's exciting, though. We should get on that. We should write it.
We should write it.
Bryce, Trice, Dyson, Thrice.
Brassenstrassen.
Brassenstrassen.
Bryce, I miss Bryce.
Always and forever in my heart.
We should bring the boys tomorrow. Stryday?
Stryday. Bringing both boys is hella chaotic.
I know, but it's like if no major news breaks that we need to put on, you know, our Diane Sawyer,
which we do all the time, for,
then why not have a chaotic stress and energy?
Stress and energy. I mean, stress is best. So I'm never gonna say no.
Stress is right.
The stress is right. New TV show. The Price is Right. Nah. The stress is right. Yeah. All right, I feel like we've LARPed enough.
Okay, that felt really good. Just LARPy. To get that out.
LARPio.
Sometimes you just need to get it out.
100%.
So now, without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Peloton.
Ooh, yeah.
You might not feel motivated to get up and get moving, but Peloton,
the truth.
Peloton is here for you. They have a team of world-class instructors that are ready to motivate you 24/7. Peloton instructors are highly trained fitness professionals who motivate you throughout every workout, whether you're a regular at the gym or someone who is new or getting back into working out. Whatever your fitness level, Peloton instructors don't just teach, they motivate. Peloton has thousands of live and on-demand classes, so you can always keep it fresh. From cycling and strength training to yoga and running, you can experiment with new types of movements judgment-free at a level and pace that feels good for you. I know that you are a Peloton ambassador, unpaid ambassador.
Oh, now paid.
Right.
I love my Peloton. As you all know, I do think my bike misses me these days. I do opt for some tread classes right now, but I think the whole app in general is like, girl, get back here, which I love to come back to Peloton. And you know what? I think this ad is reminding me, why not get on the bike today? I think I'm ready for the bike.
I'm ready. Come and find me.
If you want to follow me on Peloton, my name is Jackie O.W. I'm really good at class curation because I look at the music first, and I, you know, all the instructors are great, but some really mesh with your personality. Peloton classes are more personal than food, more personal than comedy, but there is an instructor out there for you. There is.
Right now is the perfect time to try out Peloton. The Peloton Bike Plus is now $500 less. It is the best price yet, and it includes free delivery and setup. There are more game-changing prices available on the original Peloton Bike and the Peloton Tread. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. That's onepeloton.com. And today's episode is also brought to you by First Leaf. It feels like you need a degree in grapes to find a great wine. You can shop by label, I guess, or you can try to remember what tannins are. But it should be easier, and that's why First Leaf does the hard work for you. They make it simple to discover new wines you'll love without the hit or miss. First Leaf samples over 10,000 wines a year from around the world, and they select only the finest bottles. They take the time to learn what you like, what you don't like, and then they'll send you world-class wines tailored to your taste. It's so easy to find wines you love with First Leaf. I've never been like very into like learning about like scent, swift, swirl, nodes. Sip, spit, nodes. And First Leaf just makes me feel like a queen who can like, oh, do you just want this bottle of red? Like come over to
like
my house.
Like this like small label that I've discovered.
It's like an indie winery. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm not like other girls. And First Leaf is doing all the hard work for you because shopping for wine is labor intensive. It's intellectually stimulating and it's too hard. And you don't want to carry all those wine bottles home. So
no. Try
First Leaf. It doesn't get simpler. If you're not happy with the wine you receive, they will credit you for another. So sign up today and you'll get your first six bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. So that's six bottles of wine for under $40. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/toast. That's try, tryfirstleaf.com/toast to get your first six bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. Tryfirstleaf.com/toast. That's truly an unbeatable price. Like wine girlies, no.
Okay, let's get into our first story. Some sad couple news. We talked about it on Breaking Bread last night. So if you were there, you already know that Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker have broken up after 2 years together. The Kardashian star and Phoenix Suns shooting guard have broken up after 2 years, a source close to Kendall tells E! News. The source shared, this is the quote, this is the information that we're working with as to why, but you know.
Schedules.
Different people. Right. Quote, Kendall, but it worked for 2 years.
Maybe
quote,
he's not obsessed with health.
Maybe. Kendall and Devin hit a rough patch recently and been split for about a week and a half. The couple had a really nice time in Italy together during Courtney's wedding. The insider explains, but quote, once they got back, they started to feel like they weren't aligned and realized they have very different lifestyles. Kendall told Devin she wanted space and time apart, according to the source who shared they have been in touch since and do care about one another. The insider also knows it might not be a permanent breakup. They both hope to make it work, but as of now, they are split. Take all of that with a grain of salt, right. Aside from the fact that they're broken up.
Because if it's a Kardashian related story and it doesn't come from TMZ, like I don't know. And TMZ didn't break this. So let's just keep that in mind. But under the assumption that this is true, I find this really sad. And I'm also really shocked by it because I felt like they were a great couple. Like, and really, when people are private, like, you know it's legit, you know? And we knew nothing about them other than the fact that they were together and that they were private.
Yeah. And that they were good looking. And then every once in a while, we'd get a picture and it was premium.
Yeah. And I liked that. I liked that for Kendall.
Yeah. And you know what's really sad? Stormy of it all.
Yeah, I know. That's what everyone's saying.
Is that what I saw? I didn't know that Stormy was so obsessed with him until some of the Italy pictures emerged. Mm-hmm. And oh, and Kendall said it on one of the late night shows.
Got it.
And then I saw Nori's Black Book posted that she was thinking of Stormy right now. Because if you don't know, allegedly Stormy is obsessed with Devin.
Like in love, like obsessed. Just like
lights up when he comes around.
But these are the unintended consequences of dating while all your sisters have kids, you know? And you bring them around the kids and kids get very attached. And I'm sure you don't think about it, but, you know, this is someone who might have been important to Stormy and some of the other kids. And Stormy's going to think that, like, Devin abandoned her. Because obviously it's not appropriate for him to still hang out with Stormy.
You think?
Yeah.
Uncle Devin?
If Devin and Travis were really close, which I don't know that they are, then it might be more appropriate. But like, no, like a 30-year-old man hanging out with a child is weird.
No, of course they're not going to hang out one-on-one, but he could still come around. You know, the girls keep the men in the loop.
They do. That's true. That's like a very unique Kardashian characteristic. They keep these weenies around.
I just don't think that this is a contentious breakup because I don't know Devin whatsoever. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard him speak or anything, but these two just seem drama free. You know, yeah. I could see Kendall being like, we're cool, we're friends. Like, it's all chill. She's
not like other girls. You know, she can be friends with her ex.
Yeah, exactly. She's the type.
Yeah, like, you know, straight guys and straight girls can be friends.
So maybe this doesn't mean the end for Stormy.
No, but I think it's the end of the relationship, and now it's like we have to add her to the list. Actually, him too, because he's super eligible.
Of course, he's super eligible. And apparently, he's really good at basketball.
Have you heard that? Very good. Is there anyone on our list who might be compatible with Kendall already? For those who are new here, this is our list of young, sexy Hollywood single people who we might want to set up with each other. Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan, Chris Evans, Shawn Mendes.
I actually could see Kendall dating Shawn Mendes, just like because I feel like they're both kind of like weird. Like, you know, like, I can't explain it, but like,
I don't see it. Remember when he fake dated Hailey Bieber for the Met Gala?
Such a unique moment in history. And then she dead ass got married like 6 months later.
Yeah.
That was weird.
That was like textbook PR relationship.
And he like said in an interview, he was like, yeah, no, I was like, we like fully set it up. Like it was fraudulent. And they both admitted it.
Appreciate the honesty.
I do appreciate the honesty 100%. But that was also like had potential, that couple. But that like was weird because like, to be spotted.
Oh, I guess I could add Camila Cabello to our list too.
Even though she was spotted out with the founder of Locks Club.
Yeah.
Which felt like a Locks Club like partnership. I can't explain it.
Oh, yeah. I guess it would behoove him to be spotted as an eligible bachelor.
And like the headline was like Camila Cabello. Yeah. Locks Club was in the headline. Yeah. And maybe you didn't know Locks Club is a dating app. And now you know.
Now you know.
But that guy is hot, Austin. The founder of Locks Club. Extremely good looking. Back to our list. Back to Hailey Bieber. Oh, yeah. So now that I'm thinking about it more, like the fact that they made their debut as a couple on the Met Gala red carpet is so weird because people don't really do that.
No.
They get like spotted first.
You know what? It was just like, it was small time. It was small potatoes, you know? That's like, they're both bigger stars.
They would never do it now.
And they've moved on to bigger and better things. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
No, and maybe they wouldn't be where they are now if it weren't for that cringy moment. That's like how God works. You know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. God works in mysterious, cringy ways.
God works in mystery.
Mystery Dow Jones.
Mystery, period.
Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Jussie Smollett insists that he's not a piece of shit, says he gained clarity from jail.
Sure.
Disgraced actor Jussie Smollett professed his innocence and insisted he's not a piece of shit. Smollett, who was found to have paid two men to pretend to be racist and homophobic Donald Trump supporters and attack him with a noose and bleach, was sprung from a Chicago jail in March after serving a six-day sentence. The 40-year-old actor addressed his highly publicized trial on Sway Calloway's Sirius.
He's 40?
Yeah, that was an interesting factoid.
He's giving like 26, because like only like a young, immature
person.
It's like a childish thing to do, you know?
Yeah, no. He was on Sway in the Morning, claiming he did not lie about the attack. He said, if I had done this, I'd be a piece of shit. And I don't think that's really questionable, Smollett said in the episode that aired on Monday.
I actually do think it's questionable because we're all sitting here questioning it.
And there was a trial and everything.
Right.
Here's the thing. Like, in general, you know, people make mistakes mm-hmm. and there, I believe in redemption.
Me too.
And all that jazz.
You need to acknowledge your mistake.
But if you're going to still lie, if you're going to stick to the same lie.
He can't. He's in so deep. He literally went to jail. Like, he cannot now claim that
he could say it now that the trial's over, and because that's the only way to move forward from this. You know, a sit-down interview where you cop to it. As long as he maintains the lie, like, there's
nothing to say.
Yeah.
But I can't see a world in which he tells the truth. Like, that would be insane. Because, like, even now, like, we know
every time I see him sticking to this, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that I thought he was saying he's not a piece of shit. Like, he didn't mean it and he's right. Sorry.
No. Okay. But let's say the reason why he can't do it is because we all know, like, this was a big fat lie. Like, it was.
We all know. There was a trial and everything. There's,
like, 0.5%, where it's like. Well,
no,
maybe
there's literally
the possibility is there. But if he comes out and says he lied, like, there's no possibility that
happened. There's no possibility that he's telling the truth. The jury had to be beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't believe he's out here doing press.
Innocent until proven guilty, and you are proven guilty.
So true.
When does that part? When does the hammer come down on that part?
Such a good call. Also, I find it, like, shocking that he's doing press. Like, let's say we got an email, like, dead ass, like, Jussie Smollett wants to come on this show. Mm-hmm. We would obviously do it, right?
Yeah, that's generally speaking, when there's someone who, like, we've talked crap about, I actually don't feel the need to interview them, but this would be different. Yeah.
No, and, like, do you think, like, I would be, like, nervous? I'd be like, no, you definitely didn't do it. Like, I'm, like, not good at, like, conversation. That's why I would never be, like, a housewife. Like,
right, and that's also why we can't have people on who, like, we're not interested in fighting with, like, being confrontational. We want to support people. If we can't support you, you shouldn't be on the show.
That's true. But, like, I don't think we could give up, like, the opportunity.
Because we could go from number 2 on the Spotify charts to number 1.
Joe who?
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 The what experience?
The toast experience.
That's what it is. Sometimes I do sit and think, like, because I'm a delusional queen. Like, if I had Jussie Smollett on the show, like,
let's go. Yeah,
hypothetically, dive what into I say, it. I know in, like, actuality, I would be like, I'm so sorry you went through that. But, like, I like to think I would be like, why did you lie?
I like to think we would be like that too.
I'd like to think I'd be like, you know, literally nobody believes you. Like, do what you could go on as many podcasts as you want, but, like, you're a big liar.
Yeah, I wonder how Sway handled it.
Yeah.
Good for Sway.
I guess we should have listened to the interview before reporting on it.
No,
Juicy. Wishing you the best, but, like, you gotta go. Like, the public life is not for you. Like,
no,
there are very, very, very few things in this life that you cannot come back from. And this is one of them.
Especially if you continue to maintain the lie. If you want to, you know, hold yourself accountable. Say you're sorry.
Go to therapy. Like, I would still think you're a fucking freak.
For sure, but we could begin the journey of forgiveness.
It humanizes you, yeah. Also, is a Chris Brown story a story?
Yes.
Okay, because that's a good segue of things people can't come back from.
Let's get into it.
You know me, I'm not a cancel girly. Like, I don't believe. But there are a couple people who I believe should.
So fans are slamming Normani for working with abuser Chris Brown on a new song. Normani is being annihilated by fans online for appearing in Chris Brown's music video
for his
new song, We, parentheses, Warm Embrace. The former Fifth Harmony singer shared a snippet via Instagram on Tuesday, which showed her dancing sensually with and even kissing the controversial crooner. Huh? The comments section popped off, quote, girl, what the fuck?
Literally.
Quote.
Literally. That's the comment. Like, what the fuck?
Quote, but I'm so confused. Others urged her to, quote, delete the post, with some calling it, quote, disappointing. Another, quote, we were all rooting for you, broken heart.
That's a good
one. Others were more specific about their qualms, writing, quote, why would you link up with a man like him? Quote, could have worked with anyone else, but someone with multiple abuse allegations? Quote, I can't believe we're still working with him. And quote, no, not the abuser.
No, it's true. Like, what is with, like, people are obsessed with cancel culture. Like, you fart in the wrong direction, like, your career is over. We have literal photo proof of Chris Brown physically abusing a woman who's a public figure. Like, this Chris Brown thing, like, never stuck. And remember when he did that music video, Freaky Friday, and, like, Kendall was in it? Like, that was fucking loser energy on Kendall's part. I think that, like, the way that people will not let go of Chris Brown is really suspicious and weird.
Yeah. And also, the problematic behavior continued past Rihanna, like...
Of course. But it was just with less fame. Like, Rihanna's the biggest singer in the world. Like, that was... You couldn't ignore that.
Yeah.
I think this Chris Brown thing is so weird. I've always thought about it. Like, not to keep referencing my book, but I did talk about it in my book. Like, some cancel culture is so stupid because it's so, like, not nuanced. Like, there's unequal punishment for equal crimes.
Actually, yeah, no, it's not. The punishments often don't match the crimes, but sometimes the cancellation sticks sometimes, and sometimes they're lifted. But it's for people like Chris Brown, you know?
Right. No, and it's like, that's the exact type of person who shouldn't be, like, let back in. Like, if he wants to go live, he should live a private life. But I think he still has a record label. He releases music. It is so, he's doing collabs with Normani. What the fuck is she doing?
Yeah.
She's in her flop era, honestly. Like, I don't know what's going on. I said what I said.
Whoa.
Like, Normani was literally, like, there was so much hype for Normani. Like, post Fifth Harmony, pre her true solo debut, Motivation, that sickening basketball performance, which was mm-hmm. really the cutest outfit of all time. She was like that song with Sam Smith. So much momentum, and like, this is what you're doing.
Is flop era like a TikTok term?
Yes.
Like, I really like it. It's very descriptive.
Right. So, like, I'm not saying that this is the truth, but people could say, like, you know, Speak Now was Taylor's flop era. You know, it wasn't.
Who?
That's me using it in a sentence.
Who in the crumb did
it? Refers to like a period of time or like an album from an artist. It's just like they're doing the least. Like, you know what? Katy Perry's flop era, Bon Appetit. You say era or era?
I don't know. Say whatever both. You want.
Era. Era.
Let's go get our eras parsed.
So yeah, really, like, this shit bothers me so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then don't be coming out of here, people being like, all in the comments, Claudia, you're against cancel culture. Yeah, cancel culture refers to people who say dumb shit on Twitter, not people who go out here beating up women. Like, you finding yourself defending someone who beats up women, like, you're the problem, girly. Look in the mirror.
Committing crimes,
literally.
Yeah.
The Chris Brown of it all has always confused me.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion.
And that's what you're here for, to share your opinion.
Yeah, and I just have to say, like, if you don't like it, you're wrong. So, that's on you.
Are you ready for our next story?
No, because speaking of being wrong, this is a message to everyone who's never used Canva Pro, baby. Canva Pro is back. Making content is an essential part of what we do to keep the show going. Has it not always been a seamless creative process? Jackie nor I are graphic designers.
No.
We don't even know barely how to use Photoshop. Like, but we have to be churning out content because we are literally number two on Spotify. Like, and you don't get there by not having premium content. And since we found Canva Pro, we can design anything like a pro on any device. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. You can choose from thousands of templates that are easy to customize or start from scratch. So when we make content, you know, quote cards, guest cards, announcing things happening, our schedules, every graphic you see on our Instagram is made on Canva Pro. It is so easy. We really don't really know how to, like, make stuff, but Canva Pro has these templates. You just plug in, change their name to Claudia, that name to Jackie. Boom, you're done. People think you have a fancy designer. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. And right now you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/toast to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/toast. canva.me/toast.
Okay, our next story, a little biz news that nobody wants to hear. Ted Sarandos, the CEO of Netflix, explained why Netflix will add new ad-supported tier to streaming service.
So Ted Sarandos is kind of hot.
Ads are coming to Netflix. Yeah, he's not bad looking.
He gives like Bob Iger energy. Like, you know, like
businessman
of Bo. Even though I think Ted has a wife, but whatever. Netflix it's never stopped me before. Am I okay?
Netflix is co-CEO. She really wants that special.
I really do. Like, I would do it. Like, hypothetically, like.
If I had to,
like, I would do it.
For a special.
Like, I would go on a date with Ted Sarandos, wine and dine him.
Okay, a date is different then.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a married woman, but like, I would give him a little of this, you know, like a little, hey, Ted, I'm not like other girls. I would do it.
Okay,
good for you. One thing about me, I have no scruples.
That's good.
None.
Netflix's co-CEO Ted Sarandos is speaking at the Cannes Lion Advertising Festival on Thursday. He confirmed that the future of the streaming giant will include ads explaining the about face. Netflix has long been averse to advertising on its subscription service, but after posting disappointing figures last quarter, showing it lost 200,000 subscribers, the company said it would... You didn't know about that?
No, that's crazy. I know that they've been having
bad
trouble.
Bad quarter for Netflix.
I know they've been having trouble, but I didn't know 200,000 subscribers. That's so many.
Yeah.
In a quarter.
Mm-hmm. The company said it would be introducing a less expensive ad-supported tier to its service in a bid to bring in new customers. He said, quote, "We've left a big customer segment off the table, which is people who say, hey, Netflix is too expensive for me and I don't mind advertising," he said on Thursday, speaking on the Cannes Lion stage with Sway podcast host, Different Sway.
Wow.
This is with Kara Swisher.
So the Morning like Sway.
Tech, yeah. Everything's called Sway.
Sway House?
He was in the Sway House. He said, quote, "We're adding an ad tier. We're not adding ads to Netflix as you know it today. We're adding an ad tier for folks who say, hey, I want a lower price and I'll watch ads." So that's like how they do it on Peacock.
And Paramount Plus. And I have to say, I hate it because like me, I'm always going to go cheaper option. And then I'm like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, like why does this one have ads?
No, and it's like I have to have Paramount Plus because that's where Drag Race is. Mm-hmm. And like I did the cheap one because I'm like a cheap whore. And I was watching it. I'm like, this is literally like primal. Like this is so tacky.
Yeah.
These commercials, I could vomit. So then I had to upgrade. And then it's just like, now it's just, it's really starting to add up. And I have to really evaluate like what services I can live without and which I can't live without. I can't live without HBO Max. They've become incredibly important to me. Mm-hmm. I really can't live without Hulu either. They've also become incredibly important to me. Desperate Housewives is on there. Glee is on there.
Kardashians,
obviously.
Did you finish the season finale?
You know what? I actually didn't.
I watched it last week. I didn't watch the final episode. The fuck?
No.
The fudge?
Swear jar. The fudge is right. Like, I was... I can't criticize them. Like, literally, it's not coming out of my mouth. Like,
no, give us more episodes. I want more. It was good.
I will say, like, there were so many things I loved about the show. There was a couple things I didn't like. And the lack of any content, like, literally 10 hours. We used to do, like, 22 crap episodes on Kardashians. I was disappointed by that. I was disappointed in the time slot. I was disappointed in the lack of Kendall and Kylie. It felt like a lot of the same.
Disappointed in the jumping around. First it's Christmas, then Kylie's giving birth in February, then we're like back in November. Didn't like that.
Yeah, so I know it's their first season on like a new style and a new streaming service, so I'll give them a pass. But
they need to come around to realizing like we're not stupid. Like,
no, they've been trying to pull the wool over our eyes for a really long time.
3 episodes ago, Kim was shooting SI Swim, which she shot in January. On the final episode, Chris is recording her Christmas song with Travis. Like,
oh.
Even someone who's not obsessed with pop culture would be like, what is this timeline?
Yeah, it's... And they get called out for it, and they, like, keep doing it. And they think they're, like, getting better at it, but they're actually getting worse.
But what's the point?
What's the point?
Maybe to make episodes equally interesting, putting, like, a really interesting thing and a boring thing together.
Yes, but I also think Astroworld, like, threw them through a loop. This, like, they had to, I think, edit a lot of the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, Kylie content, they didn't want to seem insensitive.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, that's partially to blame. I don't know.
Maybe next year. Here's what I don't understand about Netflix and ads. If you need to do ads on your platform, you should go ahead. But why not do like integrated ads? Like it's sponsored by Spritz and like there's Spritzes in it. And like
yeah.
Spritz, the advertisers will pay you to be in the
show. Product placement.
Product placement. Everybody likes product placement.
I'm pretty sure they've been doing that forever. Like their original shows have tons of product placement. But I don't think it's enough to subsidize the company. Like,
I think product placement is more powerful than an ad I'm going to skip through.
I completely agree. Like traditional commercials, like YouTube ad breaks, like they're so old school and they don't work anymore. Like
I love product placement, just like I love Spritz Society.
Use code TOAST.
At SpritzSociety.com.
I agree with you. Like, as two marketing queens, I think, like, traditional commercials are, like, not successful at selling products.
Right.
And, like, if I'm just watching Selling Sunset and, like, Christina's drinking, like, a cool, you know, sparkling cocktail, I'm like, oh, I should try that.
Right.
Like, that's really how it works, marketing and advertising.
Yeah. So, free idea, Ted.
I do think they do a little bit of it, but... I would suggest ramping
more?
That up. Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't bother me at all. Except, you know when it bothers me? When it's like so obvious.
Oh,
when
the yeah,
housewives,
Bravo.
When Bravo had two housewives, Dorinda and Sonia, go see that Rebel Wilson and Anne Hathaway movie and sit down and talk about how the movie was so great because it's two powerful females just like them. Like,
yeah, yeah,
that
that's
was
really bad.
Embarrassing.
Or when they were like doing something with Privé, that like glam squad.
Yes.
And every time they would have an event, they would like have Privé come.
Right.
That's actually a better integration.
Yeah, because the girls were just, the makeup artists were wearing t-shirts and it didn't bother me, but yeah. the movie was a low point.
Yeah, that's really bad.
That's how you knew we were headed for a recession. That was a low point in pop culture history.
Yeah. Are you ready for another low point for our fifth and final story?
Sure.
I don't know if you can sing a song about this.
No, one. I know. I'm not singing.
Juul e-cigarettes will be banned in the U.S. after a two-year review. Juul e-cigarettes will soon be off the shelves, at least according to a report that states the FDA is planning to ban the product from being sold in the U.S. The Wall Street Journal reports the FDA is gearing up to order Juul to remove its products from the market following a two-year investigation. The report states Juul had asked to keep the company's nicotine products in rotation. Juul first came under fire nearly 4 years ago for marketing to young users with its sleek design and flavors, ultimately leading to a spike in vaping in underage people. The company has been hit with thousands of lawsuits in the U.S. and tried to turn things around by banning the fruit-flavored products, but clearly that's not enough for the FDA, which is reportedly taking things to the next level. Also, it's worth noting that other e-cigarette brands are still on the market,
right,
with the FDA separating the two because those other products help people quit smoking, whereas Juul is very, like, teen-focused. But it's really, they're the same thing. It's just about how they've been marketing.
The FDA is giving such Karen vibes here. Like, we're literally suffering a nationwide baby formula shortage, and you're, like, obsessed with e-cigarettes. Like, fuck off. Like, there's so many things in this country that are so bad for us. No. Like, literally, video games with kids getting their heads blown off. Like, it's so stupid. Like, fentanyl. Like, why don't you focus on that? Not fucking e-cigarettes.
Fentanyl. No,
literally, people are dying of accidental fentanyl overdoses all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, work on that, bitch. Like, not fucking e-cigarettes that, like, just kids like to smoke in clubs. Like, all right, the kids might have a cough, but they'll be fine, okay? Maybe they have COVID.
No. But also, like, they've banned the fruit flavors, you know.
Which made a huge impact.
The age to buy them, I think, is probably at least 21. Like, all of these things that they can do.
I think it's 18, but yeah.
Okay, then make it 21.
Yeah.
Just like in New York, you have to be 21 to buy cigarettes.
No,
you do. In this state, I believe that you do.
I'm like almost 100% sure that's not true.
Let's Google it.
But yeah, let me Google it. But you can keep talking. Go off, sis.
Just get some baby formula on the shelves. Lower the price of gas. Deal with inflation.
Yeah, no. Oh, you're right. It's 21.
I remember from my days.
But can I just tell you, like, yes, Juul was forced to stop selling all their flavors like years ago. They literally still sell it in every vape shop. There's like counterfeit ones being made. They're being sold in from other countries. Like,
and that's
nobody
worse.
Gives a shit.
And that's worse.
That's
and I
true.
Really don't know how this Juul ban is. How many people are actually going to stop vaping because of this ban? Instead, they'll just get, you know, fakakta pods that actually might harm them in more serious ways.
That is such a good call. Like, I don't really understand why they're like all up in everyone's business. It's not like anyone's being forced to Juul. It's a personal choice. We live in a free country. And I just think the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, could be really focused on some of the issues going on in our country that people actually care about.
No, like if we lived in a perfect world, like then you could focus on, you know,
right. If we had no other problems, like maybe we should tackle, you know, smoking.
But like get some baby formula on the goddamn shelves and then worry about Juul.
No, but you know what? Like even with the Juul, I don't really agree with that. Like it's a choice.
That too.
It's a choice. Like we live in a free country, and if I want to choose to vape and ruin my lungs, like that's my choice. Mm-hmm. And a Food and Drug, some freaks who work in the government, like shouldn't be able to tell me what to do with my body.
And it's weird that some brands can stay and Juul has to go.
Yes.
And
it feels they've had this hard on for Juul for years.
It feels very like, you know, backdoor deals.
Yeah.
And Juul is not the popular company in the class.
Yeah. I just think like this is like unnecessary. And yes, maybe it's because I enjoy vaping and maybe that's just on me. But I also just think it's like nobody's business what you choose to do to your lungs. And I wish like the resources being put towards this moronic cause would be put towards worthy causes. And that's on being rational.
100%, and I don't even vape anymore, and I think this is moronic and an overreach of government regulation.
100%. Look at us, and like, you know being what? Government girls.
It kind of makes me want to Juul.
No, totally. Like, oh, I can't Juul? Bet. You're on, bitch.
No, now, when you say I can't do something, now I'm going to prove that I can do it.
Right, because this is America.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I really could use a Juul right now.
I think I might have an extra one in my purse somewhere.
FDA, you've convinced me.
Yeah. Look. Thanks, FDA.
Look at your influence. No interest. I had no interest before. But
you get one for Harry.
You just reminded me of how Juuls are so
No,
awesome.
You should get one for Harry. The FDA. No, stop. The FDA gave you that idea. Thanks, FDA. I want to talk a little bit about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I would like for you to share your thoughts.
And it's brought to you by Babbel. For all, we are Babbel.
You guys, we love Babbel.
For all of your summer travels, whether you're going abroad or staying domestic and you want to immerse yourself in the culture, now is the perfect time to start Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, there's still time to learn a new language before you reach your destination. So me and Ben are supposed to go to Italy, and the last time I went to Italy, I did not do Babbel, and that's how I ended up with the bon nuit switch situation. So I've started doing little podcasts, little games on Babbel. It's really fun. It's really easy. And I just think if you're going to be traveling abroad this summer, like, it's just not the smartest or safest thing to go to a country where you know none of the language.
100%.
Like, you can get lost. You can get pickpocketed. Like, it's just, you want to know what you're doing when you travel. So with Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. You can start having real conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts. Their teaching method has been significantly proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages like Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/TMT. That's Babbel spelled Babbel.com/TMT, as in the morning toast. And that's for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
You know who loves Babbel?
Who?
The campers, because they can all communicate. American campers are learning French and Italian through Babbel. Because she wants to connect with the international campers, and she wants to stop having beef with them. Did you know that American camper is 12 now?
Wow.
She was
How did you figure that out?
She was 8 when she first was born.
Okay.
And it's been four years.
She was born 8 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
A medical marvel.
She was 8 when she first went to camp.
When she hopped on the scene.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I saw a TikTok today of like these girls at like a camp. It was like a classic camp, you know, like New England, and they're wearing like their Sophie shorts, and they're doing like a little TikTok dance outside the bunk, and like, it first of all made me so nostalgic for camp, and then it also made me realize like how grateful I am I didn't go to camp in the TikTok age. Like, we really got to like look ugly and like not give a shit.
But why are they on their phones, these kids?
I don't know. If for us, like, we had cell phones maybe like a little bit older, but you were banned from bringing them to camp, and you could live without cell phones back in the day. I don't know if kids are going to camp without their phones now.
What I remember is like kids bring their phones and they get them at call time. That's like what's going on present day.
That was like 10 years ago. That's what happened to us like 10 years ago. That was a long time ago.
I mean, there shouldn't be phones at camp.
No, it's so nice. Like, camp is so much fun. You don't need your phone. It's so toxic. You're out there getting fresh air, stimulating your mind. Kids' mental health these days are so toxic because of their phones. If I, which I will send my kids to camp, like, I want to find a camp that's a no phone camp.
Yeah.
They'll hate me for it in the beginning, but they will be so grateful.
Yeah.
When they're home.
Yeah.
It'll be good for them.
It will be.
Okay. Beverly Hills. So most of the episode took place on the boat trip. They got this like nice boat, and Diana, I fucking hate Diana.
What?
Yeah, no. First of all, she's like, I mean, this isn't like a yacht. It's like a nice day boat. Like, she was just being obnoxious, and she like hates Sutton, and I hate her because of that.
It's like the same with Crystal last season. It's like Sutton, you think is the weakest link, and it's just not interesting to have strife with her.
No, and she's not the girl I thought she was. Like, yes, her life is really interesting, but she's so condescending, like, about her money, and it's like kind of annoying.
That is annoying.
And this is like might be like a really fucked up thing to say, but like, I don't think you should ever be condescending about money, but like, if you built your own business and like went from nothing to something, all right, I can understand how you feel like you could be condescending, but like, she married her money, so let's be real.
Yes, but the ex-husband did say that he couldn't get to where he was without Diana.
Sure.
But he said it.
No, for sure.
And you said that
he, to no, me. He did say it, but like, I think he's just a nice guy. Like, Diana working at Barclays Bank? No.
You never know.
Okay. But so what was really interesting about the boat ride was that Erica showed up on the boat ride, like, blackout. Like, literally blackout. She was slurring, sleeping on the couch, talking to herself. She is Sonia Morgan. She was laying on the couch. We used to have a boat. We docked it in Marina. It was called the Illegal, which is weird. And she was just like going on and on about like old timey boat. And she was giving Sonia Morgan.
Yeah.
But she looked incredible. I kind of wish she wasn't that drunk. It was like maybe the best look I'd ever seen her
really?
In.
Really?
Her glam was so like natural and stunning. Her hair was pulled back in a low pony. She was wearing this really cute, I think it was Missoni cover up. And she just looked like fresh and young. Her body looked amazing because she literally fell asleep on the couch with her legs wide open. Her legs were like tan and smooth and gorgeous. And I was just like, I wish we could have enjoyed this look because she looked amazing. Like, it was like a low key look. She's always doing the most.
Yeah.
So it was like this understated glam that I thought she looked really beautiful.
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
But she, and all the women like thought it was funny, but then they were talking afterwards how she said she's on antidepressants, and Garcelle was pointing out how like she's been like probably mixing alcohol with like the wrong pills, and it's just like not a good cocktail. And it wouldn't have been such a big deal because they're like on vacation and whatever, but like she's just going through a lot, and she said she's on pills, and like now you're, it's not like funny, it's like, are we worried about Erica?
Right. And we've known Erica for a while now, and that's not really
Lisa Rinna said, for the 7 years I've known her, I've never seen her even close to this right. drunk.
So to be that drunk when you know she's at a low point is worrisome.
Yeah.
But some people like get really drunk all the time, like by accident, or you know what I mean? Right, like, no. Some people have like low tolerance yeah. or whatnot.
But Erica's always been like a drinker, but she's not been like a sloppy mess. And that's what she was with her legs spread, like screaming obscenities. So the boat ride was like just really revolved around Erica. What's her name? Diana got stung by a jellyfish. I enjoyed that. Crystal. Oh, and then there was like this weird moment like on the boat. And then at dinner where like Erica and Sutton are like vibing hard, like talking about how they're both Southern and like their moms never showed them any love. And then Erica went on this weird drunken rant about how like agriculture was life. And if you didn't work, you didn't eat. And it was just like, OK, Erica. But then towards the end, they went out to dinner on their last night and they're just like vibing and everyone's like talking about it. And they don't want people to be like talking about it and pointing it out. They just want to like chat. So I don't know what that means, because Sutton was like, the last time we vibed on that boat in wherever they went last season, you're in your confessional saying you hate me, but you're just like talking to me to make the trip nice. So, like, I don't know if you're actually doing that now or if you actually want to move forward. But for the most part, there really wasn't any confrontation.
I'm ready for Erica and Sutton to move forward.
Me too, because by the way, like, they were talking about how Sutton met this guy on Bumble and was showing a picture of him to Erica. Like, it was really cute because they're both like newly single. I think that there's something there if they can get past it, and if Erica can like stop being her villainous self, which she was not being this week, which I appreciated. Garcelle also brought up Denise, because Garcelle's birthday party is next week's episode, and she said, I am bringing Denise, and Lisa Rinna said she has to be in New York for Harry Hamlin's movie premiere. But then Lisa Rinna was like, you know, I did reach out to Denise and apologized for how I acted, and she said that she appreciated the text. And then Garcelle in her confessionals texted Denise and was like, did Lisa Rinna text you? And Denise responded, when? So I don't know if Lisa was lying or Denise just doesn't remember, but that was interesting. And then the episode ended in like a weird like moment where they were trying to make more drama between Diana and Sutton. So they get back on the plane, you know, it's Diana's plane. And they're sitting at the foretop, you know, two seats and two seats. Mm-hmm. And it's like Kyle, Diana, and Crystal. And Sutton's like, oh, can I sit here? There's one more seat left next to Diana. And Diana's like, no, go to your original seat. Like, sit the way you sat on the way here. She was like, oh, okay. Then everyone sits down. Like, they're all in different seats than they were on the way here. And Sutton's like so upset. She's like, I could have gotten my own plane. It was like so dumb. And Garcelle was like, yes, you could have. Like, trying to empower her. Like, it was so dumb. But Diana, like, is fucking rude. Like, yeah. I don't like Diana. Like, I'm over her completely.
Damn. Okay. I'm going to catch up. I'll probably feel the same as you, because that's usually how things go around here. But thank you for the recap. I feel kept abreast.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It wasn't like anything life-changing.
Oh, but you know what is life-changing? Our interview with Craig Conover, which is coming up next.
We haven't mentioned that the whole time. So we had Craig Conover in studio yesterday. He filmed a podcast with us. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, just
keep listening
to our gorgeous
voices.
Don't
go anywhere.
If you're watching on YouTube, it's only available as a podcast. So check it out on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. He talked about the new season of Southern Charm. He talked about Naomi and Paige. He talked so much about Paige and just like how she's made him a better man. It was so cute. He looked great. He was so cute. And he's so nice. Like, he really is the nicest guy.
It was a pleasure. And Southern Charm premieres tonight, you guys. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. We'll be watching.
Yeah. What else is on tonight?
No, it's just Wednesday had everything.
Yeah.
Wednesday was Beverly Hills.
I haven't watched The Real Housewives of Dubai. And I know that the three first episodes of Ultimate Girls Trip in the Berkshires just came out this week. Or today. And I just like can't really stress how little I want to watch either of them.
Yeah.
I will probably watch Ultimate Girls Trip, but I just feel like I know what it's about already. It's Vicky versus Dorinda. And it's just like messy versus messy. And it's like
Vicky versus Dorinda. That's
yeah. Vicky's like, why are we in this old smelly house? And Dorinda's like so offended by that, because that's what the whole season is about. Like, her offending her stately, her historic home.
Oh, God.
But I understand, like, the other women got to go to a villa in Turks and Caicos and we're at someone's house.
Well, you're also, like, the B team.
Right. There are people I do want to see. Like, I do want to see Jill, and I really do want to see Taylor Armstrong.
Yeah, but I also feel like this Ultimate Girls Trip is kind of an audition. I wouldn't be surprised if some people do come back from their shows if this goes well for them.
Yes, 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 yes.
So
we'll see.
Could be starting lineup after this.
So Southern Charm tomorrow, and that's it on that.
Oh, and you know what I watched? What? Hacks.
The whole season? Mm-hmm. What did you think?
It was so good. It was just as good as season one.
Like, not
it
long
was
enough.
Not, no, but it was perfect. The arc of the story was great. It let, like, it was just as good. Usually the second season is a flop.
Letdown.
Flop era. But I loved the storyline, and I'm sure, like, you felt very warm and fuzzy towards it because of the special, too.
Yes, it was, first of all, I think they really nailed what it's like to sell a special, because it's fucking hard, even if you're famous. I thought they nailed, like, tour life, like, literally going to Lord & Taylor and drinking fountain soda. Like, it was so good. My only complaint is that there wasn't enough Deborah Vance. Like, we're getting to know so much about Ava and her chief of staff and the water guy. Who cares?
Yeah.
Literally, who cares?
I like that housekeeper, though. I want love more of her.
She's, what is she from? She's from something so iconic from our childhood.
Yeah, hold on.
I think she's from The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
We're not going to let you go until we find out. Hacks, Cass. And then, of course, the little brother from Ugly Betty.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
And from, oh, he's from Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I've got beef between my teeth. It would be lost without my floss. Iconic. What is the housekeeper from?
She's in That's So Raven.
Oh, yeah, she's a teacher. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
She's the teacher.
Great.
I feel so much better. I love when that happens.
She's also in Bad Teacher.
Wow. Are you going to be okay?
No.
Oh,
no.
I'm curious how they will do this into the next season.
I know, because like they should be separated. Hopefully right. It means no more Ava.
That would be sensational. Oh, and I loved like the moment when she decided to like go back, spoiler alert, go back to her roots and sell her special on QVC. Like, that was so iconic.
Yeah.
And then of course, like, she proved the concept and everyone came running with like millions of dollars. But I just love that. Like, her fans have always been there for her. I loved it. It was giving Toast energy, honestly.
It really was. Like, it was giving Patreon.
It was giving Patreon. Like, you know what? Like, who cares what the big wigs think? Like, your fans are always here for you. You built a community. They love you. I felt, like, I honestly felt so connected to the show more than I did even last season.
No, and the storyline. Also, I like the fact that, like, the jokes in the beginning, like, they were fine. The crowd wasn't really with her. And you could sense that because I was like, that's kind of a shitty joke.
Yes.
It's not that funny. And then, like, the jokes evolved. And by the end, like, they're bangers. Really great. Like,
yeah. So good.
So good.
I loved it. And I can't wait for the next season. And I can't wait for tomorrow because it's Friday. Oh, yeah.
And it might be Stride-ay.
It might be Stride-ay.
You never know with these boys. One could get a tummy ache and not come to work.
It's true. It's very true.
Never know.
Sensitive stomachs.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're listening to this podcast, here is our interview with Craig Conover. If you're watching on YouTube, head over to the podcast app or Spotify and enjoy our little moment with Craig Conover. We love you guys and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. We are so excited to be sitting down with one of our favorite people. Honestly, one of the contributing designers to our studio.
Yes.
It is Craig Conover sitting on a Sewing Down South pillow.
Hey, girls. Thanks for having me. It's been a while since I've been on the show and the first time in the studio.
Yes. Well, thank you for making it so gorgeous with your stunning pillows.
I'm so flattered. I was saying my team watches y'all every day and I catch you a lot too.
Yeah.
But to see the pillows in here is really cool and it goes perfectly with your aesthetic.
It does. And you, by the way, look amazing. And I have to believe a lot of that has to do with the lady in your life, Paige.
Yes, yes. I don't have the vision for the New York style or just She said it in a very nice way today. She said, Craig, I'm going to try to modernize your style. And I was like, I'm down for it. Because once I put these on, I was like, oh, that does look cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when I first received the bag of clothes, I was like,
you couldn't see it.
No, I was like, these are sweatpants. And like this, and I was like, it's just a white t-shirt.
Right.
And then
yeah.
I was like, if you can put an outfit together for me. And she's like, yes, you look cool.
Have you changed the way you dress in Charleston too, or just when you're in New York?
No, here's things that I've changed. I stopped wearing flip-flops with pants.
I think that's nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I just didn't see how absolutely atrocious it was until I did it up here. Right. And I was like, okay, put some sneakers on, Craig.
No, and you can't walk around town with, like, your feet hanging out. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to literally get, like,
so,
a disease.
In Charleston, she's got a closet at my house now full of, like, her Charleston clothes. And she's really coming around to that style.
To the Charleston aesthetic.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited
more colors.
To see that.
Yeah, a lot of colors, a lot of whites, some neutrals. And then up here, I'm getting used to doing just, like, whatever this is.
It looks nice.
It does look nice.
And you're spending time here. Obviously, tonight is the season premiere of season 8 of Southern Charm. So you did Watch What Happens Live. When you're here, you stay at Paige's apartment, right?
Yes.
That is so cute.
Yeah, I she's been gone to Italy for the last 2 weeks, so I've been in the apartment by myself and like know all the doormen and door ladies. And so what we do is we have a key that I can pick up when I'm in town, but she could still tell the doorman not to give it to me.
Of course.
So like, I don't have my personal key, but I have one. That's good.
Having the doorman's permission
is in
without
New York.
Them having to call every time. That's yes.
A New York fairy tale.
A New York relationship milestone.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So season 8 of Southern Charm, you've been doing this forever. How does it feel now? I feel like you're in a much different place than you were in the last couple seasons. Obviously, Paige is in your life and we're all just like obsessed.
Obsessed.
I hope you don't feel any pressure. Like we literally, if you don't get married, like we will be devastated.
No, I mean, it is really nice that everyone likes your girlfriend.
Yeah. And like the sewing down south is killing it. What's wrong with my sewing? You pass the bar. Like you're just in this great place. And I imagine it's more fun to film that way when it's not all about like making fun of Craig.
It is. But you'll see that, you know, that somehow that there's always something to fight about and combat. Because I think you'll see a lot of the guys, you know, I had to take a step back from the Charleston scene and social world to really just focus on myself. Because I wasn't able to go golfing during the day and not it turn into, you know, a 2 a.m. thing.
Right.
So I just really pulled back and hung out with myself. And you'll see that some of the guys weren't happy about that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of conflict and conflict resolution this year. I'm excited because this will be the first show that Paige and I are actually dating on.
Right.
Because in Summer House, we were still figuring stuff out.
Right.
So this season opens up, you know, when we're boyfriend, girlfriend, you get to see us like, you know, our day to day a little more.
And is she there for a lot of the filming?
A decent amount. She was going through it last night in her head. She was like, okay, I was only there for that, that, and that. And I was like, we were there for that too. And she's like, oh man. Like there definitely got to a point where she was like, I think I'm just going to stay in the city this weekend.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different than, you know, going to someone else's show is a little different. And, you know, our cast is all like our group of friends is all, they're all crazy.
Yeah. And you guys are really tight and like, you've known each other forever.
Yeah. So, we've gotten to the point where we're just like, screw it.
Yeah.
Like if we have a problem with someone, we just
go for it.
Yeah. So it's a lot, but you get to see the store, which I'm pumped about. You know, this is, you know, they kind of gambled that Sewing Down South wasn't going to make it. Cause yeah. I think a few people were still annoyed at the bar thing not working out in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we're not even going to follow this sewing thing. And so fortunately it worked out. And now this year they really catch up to
and you have a storefront now.
Yes.
Where is it?
On King Street in Charleston. So
that's so great. Cool.
Right across from all the bars that I went to in college. And like,
it's yeah.
like
full circle.
The old strip.
You're yeah. going out.
Are you going to plan to open stores anywhere else in the country?
We hope so. I think we'd start with some pop-ups.
Cool.
Maybe in Nashville or up here or Florida. But, you know, we're about to get into bedding. So like bedroom sets and sleep pillows. So we're slowly expanding, which has been exciting. So
what's your best selling product?
I mean, our it's evolving, which is great. We just launched a poolside collection, which is all outdoor pillows.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they don't fade and they're waterproof and all of that. And so each season is a little different. I mean, our holiday pillows just have been
kill it.
They go bananas, and we'll do Christmas in July again. In July.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You think that's a good time to do it?
But we've got, you know, pillows for all sorts of holidays. And it's been fun to do what I love and share that positivity with everyone else, because you see so many people that are made to feel guilty about having a side hustle.
What's wrong with myself?
Yeah. Or step it, you know, outside of that, you know, 9-to-5 kind of.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of pressure, like with the platform that you have to like make it at what you're doing and to like use the show in a beneficial way. And, you know, because so many other people have had success with what they're doing, but a lot of people launch side hustles that don't. And I think people expect that if you have a show, that it should be a success.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah, there is. My partner, we do some talks around the country now. And Jerry's always like, you know, you would assume just because you're on TV, it's really easy. And of course, it's a huge platform and it is a huge advantage, but there's a lot that goes into it. And if you think about it, there haven't been as many Bravo products as you may think.
There are so many flops. Like,
yeah,
there, like the ones that stick out are obviously like Skinny Girl.
Yeah, like Bethany.
There are a few, but then when you think how every season, literally so many of the Housewives or whatever shows are doing like a clothing line, a skincare line, and they never really come to fruition. You're right. It's like there aren't actually that many that are still standing.
Right. And so we wanted to build a brand that was independent of myself. And, you know, when the show ends one day, that there was an actual Sewing Down South following. And I think we've kind of gotten there. And
totally.
There were so many people that rooted for me that were like, we look like the dumbest person in the room right now, sticking up for you. Please just like pull
Make
through.
It work.
Yeah. And so that's what sharing the store with all of those people that stuck with me has been really fun.
Yeah.
Are any of those people your cast members or just like people on the business side?
I mean, you know, Catherine always rooted for me and
you always rooted for Catherine.
Yeah. And she's, you know, she's Catherine.
Yeah.
I love her to death. You'll get to see some of the other guys on the show
Eat
and
their
girls. Yeah, and their version of doing that, I didn't necessarily agree with all of it. Some people maybe feel like they were responsible for my success because they pushed me.
Oh, that's so obnoxious.
A little bit. And so you'll.
Was
you know.
It Shep?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That so sounds like the dumbest thing ever that only Shep would say.
Oh, man. So, you know, we butt heads a lot this year, the guys again, but you also get to see us going back and having fun. Like, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of laughing that I hope everyone gets to see. But there are some crazy, there's a romance on the show this year that just the greatest writers in the world couldn't have thought of.
Oh, so. Is it you and Paige?
Well, we are yeah, a romance on the
true.
Show.
Well, what also is weird, and I think has a lot of people talking, is Naomi's back. Obviously, yes. She hasn't been on the show since for a while. And I think, well, at least what I saw from the trailers, like they're trying to make like a whole thing about Paige. And as far as I know, it's like they like each other, respect each other, get along decently, as much as you can get along with someone's ex.
Yeah, I thought Paige and her did an incredible job. You know, Charleston's a very incestuous place where everywhere you go, you're going to be around an ex. It's a very small town. And like in New York, Paige is like, I don't see my exes.
Right. Right.
But she actually handled it and was open to it incredibly. And what people have to remember is, that Naomi thing was happening when Summer House was going on.
Right.
So like that was when, you know, she was doing her thing. I was doing my thing. It ended up being incredible closure for me that I didn't know I needed. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, she said that it was temporary comfort for her going through whatever she did in New York. And so obviously they were going to try to tease that and make it suspenseful.
Right.
But it had happened months before Paige and I started dating.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course it stinks that I had to put Paige through that at the end of the day. But it, you know, it all works out. And, you know, Naomi handled it great. She called me to ask. I was the first call. So she was like, hey, I know it's your show. Do you mind if I come back? I could really use this. And I was like, sure, you know, I think viewers would love that. Mm-hmm. And as long as you apologize to the people you need to.
Yeah.
You know, because she kind of left town.
Abruptly.
Like, yeah. And was, you know, kind of like, screw everyone. And she, you know, she handled it right. So Shep made a good point this week. He's like, we're in a society where if you mess up, everyone's so quick to be like, well, you're screwed. Like,
right.
That's it.
Yeah.
But like, you got to have some way to redeem yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because no one's perfect.
So I thought you were so great on Summer House. Like, you brought this very calming energy. You were extremely level-headed and like very rational about everything. And what I loved so much was that like so much of the storyline revolved around Dumois. And I heard that I was talking to Austin about this when you guys were on stage doing your Pillows and Beer podcast. You thought that I was Dumois.
No, Austin.
Because of your April Fool's.
Yeah, of course. Like, you believed it.
Austin ran to me and was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, look at this. And I was like, I don't think so, because she writes a lot of negative stuff about me.
Right, right.
And I knew it just didn't make sense. If it was you, I would be, I was like, I hope that's not true, because I would feel a little betrayed.
Of course.
By them. And then I was like, you idiot, it's April Fool's.
Right.
No, but Austin was like freaking out. He pays attention to so much of that stuff, but she was at one of our shows. And and she sent us a video to me on Instagram of the show.
Did you see her?
No.
Like,
so she, someone asked the question, you know, how do you feel about Dumois? And I was like, look, I'm a capitalist, so, you know, whatever like works.
Right. It's your business.
Props to you. Is it not that much fun for me sometimes? Sure. But I was like, I hope it doesn't change the way what I've seen it have an effect on it is the way people treat us in public, because instead of coming up to say hi, they just take a picture and their goal is to be on those sites.
Right, and like write something in that might be a little more exaggerated than what they saw.
And like, I was like, just don't keep it from saying hi. Like, don't keep you from saying hi. Still say hi. Mm-hmm. Don't let it break that like personal kind of relationship. And she was like, I guess your answer was okay or whatever. Mm. Because of course I was trying to keep Austin from blurting it out, like, you know, screw her and everything. Because in my head, I was like, this might be the person in the shadows might be.
Right. That's so crazy. That lurking crazy. At your show.
How was that podcast tour?
It was fun. I'm still kind of shocked that we had so many people come. But I mean, if BravoCon showed us anything or like my store days, I mean, you guys have done great with it. Like, people want to come interact in person. It's funny doing it with someone that's so different than you. Like, I love Austin to death, but it is really a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
And Austin kind of needs fresh material every show. Some people like to do like, you know, the rinse and repeat and kind of, but Austin's like, I need to be stimulated at every show. So it was a little bit of work.
Yeah.
But we got incredible feedback. We broke a lot of the venue's alcohol sales records.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Which they love. They're like, it's Tuesday night. Like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
So we're going to go on tour at the end of the summer. We're going to do like a Texas leg and
in
the Southeast. So
killing it. Yeah. Oh, you know, we were talking about you on the podcast a little while ago because your book came out and you opened up about how early on in the seasons you were like relying kind of unhealthily on Adderall.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and like how you moved past it?
Yeah.
Excuse you have COVID. Take a third cough.
Tell du moi.
We have to, like, anytime we're in New York doing NBC stuff, we have to get tested like every day.
No, I was kidding.
I know, but that's crazy.
It's not a throaty cough. It's always dry.
Yeah. So my Adderall, I mean, that's what writing the book was, basically one giant therapy session for me, because I've never done too well with therapy. I believe in it, but I've never gone back to a therapist twice. Like, I've always just been like, why am I here? I completely just profiled myself. I told you everything wrong with me and you're just listening. I need to stick with it probably. But the book really made me look in the mirror, and I had no idea how many facets of my life were affected by Adderall. Mm. Like, looking back and telling these stories, I was like, oh, well, that happened because I was like strung out on Adderall and all of this stuff. So, you know, it happened in law school. But I really didn't have a problem with it until Naomi and I started to break up. And kind of that last year of our relationship, you know, when you have that second half of relationships, it's not that fun and it's stressful. So I started to take Adderall as my happy pills, because if I was taking Adderall, I wasn't stressed. Like, it shuts down the emotional side.
Right.
So I was like focused on sewing or gardening or whatever it may be.
And were those the scenes we saw you like just not getting out of bed till late and your house was a mess?
Yeah. And I wanted to blame it on producers, but they were like, but you were in bed till late, because I would just go until I crashed. So I'd go to bed at sunrise. And you just don't, Adderall's a tricky one to really realize that you're hooked on, because it's supposed to make your life so much easier. And for a lot of people, it does for a long time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden this thing that helped you do so well earlier in life is kind of this devil in your closet. So I was in the Bahamas when we were spearfishing, and there was a shark in the water, and I couldn't hold my breath because I had stupidly like taken an Adderall that morning just because it was a habit.
Right.
So I couldn't hold my breath to go down and like warn my friend that there was a shark in the water. And that was the day that I was like, all right, you got to like
chill.
Stop.
Yeah.
So I stopped taking it in the Bahamas. But then as soon as I came home and started filming again, I started taking it. And I was like, I do not want to go down that road again. So I just like quit cold turkey. But so many people have come out of the whatever. I don't know why I would say cornfield. That doesn't make any sense. The woods.
You're coming out of the cornfield.
Yeah, the cornfield. Celebrities, some famous people, and been like, hey, I've never talked to anyone about this, but it affects my marriage. It affects my relationship with my kids. And I don't know who to talk to. So as soon as I found out that people were kind of being helped by me telling my story, I was like, I guess this is my penance of being like so crazy for so long. Like, so it's been 3 years since I've touched a Adderall pill.
That's great.
That is great.
Yeah.
And it's great that you're talking about it, because clearly, you know, it's something that affects a lot of people that they don't talk about. And I feel like for Adderall, like with like law school or college and reality TV, it's like they're the two places where it's very much part of the
accepted
culture.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're filming a show and you have to drink and then you have to get up and then you have to be on, and like it's probably very easy to fall into those
and
patterns.
You have to talk about like stuff and be honest and truthful, and it's like, yeah, it kind of, it made it a lot easier to, you know, to film, but that was on me because a lot of times you have to talk about things you don't want to talk about. Right. And Adderall, you know, you take an Adderall and you're like, actually, let me tell you everything about everything. But, you know, I should have, Shep always said you shouldn't take it unless you have a test to study for. And that was true. So,
Shep with the wisdom.
I mean,
I think it was out of the woodwork.
Out of the woodwork.
Not the cornfield.
Yeah. But if they wanted to come out of the cornfield, we'd let them.
Yeah, we, you know.
Before we let you go, what can we expect this season? The trailer was not kind to Shep. The trailer was not kind to Shep.
Shep's going to have a tough, season. We're all pretty... You know, they know just how long of a break to give you from the last season for that. You come in and you're like, yeah, let's do this again. And like, let's not have our guard up. And Shep just, I yell a lot this season. Like, of course, it's not going to be easy for me either. But he's going to have, you know, a tough time. And him and Taylor are still together, which is great. They just went on an awesome trip. But reliving... So... There's a lot of conflict resolution on this season, like I said, but there was a lot of conflict. And when you have to relive that conflict, everyone handles it a little differently.
And so. It just brings up like the emotions that you buried a year ago.
Right. So I tried to watch the first episode and I made it 10 minutes in and I like got angry and like almost wanted to like, you know, rage text the producer. And I was like, this is why you don't watch, Craig.
Right.
Like go like, and as soon as I put my phone down, I was like, yes, if you can't handle it, then don't do it.
Yeah.
But Paige watched it and she was like, it's fine. So I was like, as long as you're good, then.
Then I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Me too. And we are just so happy. Thank you for coming.
Of course.
Please give Paige our best, our regards.
And maybe I'll come back in a couple of weeks when we can talk about some bombshells that come out.
Yes, love that.
This couch is always open to you, Craig.
There we go. Love it.
Well, tune into the new episode of Southern Charm. The premieres tonight on Bravo. Check out Sewing Down South for some glamorous pillows, pillows and beer podcast, your book.
Pillow
you just
talk.
Got a lot going on. It's Mogul Energy.
Mogul Energy.
There we go.
Yes. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on tomorrow's episode. Have a great day. Bye.